My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome in for another edition of our Warriors Weekly Podcast for 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson joined by Matt Steinmetz, as always. And Matt, we're recording this Thursday morning, and what a finish last night in Salt Lake City. Warriors had players out. No Curry, no Draymond, no Wiggins. Everybody saw it or heard it at this point. A 4-point lead with 13.3 seconds to go. They give up a three. They call a timeout. Inbounds pass is stolen and run back for a layup by the Jazz. There were missed free throws. There were other bad turnovers that even led up to that, that put the Warriors in a position where shorthanded, looking at one of their better wins of the season, and it turns out to be really just a horrific loss, and the kind of loss you don't see every day in the NBA.
No, it's a kind of loss you never would have ever seen with the Warriors before, but we know this is a different team. Boy, a couple things about this game, at least. You know, I texted you, midway through the third, and I said, you know, this would be a nice win for the Warriors. You know, they'd gotten down, but they kept hanging in, and then all of a sudden it looked like they you know, then in the fourth they started to take control. So it would have been a good win. When you lose a game like this, JD, usually there's an officiating component to it. And that's the thing that stuck out about last night is the refs got the call on Clarkson exactly right. It gave the Warriors a 2-point lead with 2 foul shots and the ball. And they couldn't close it. I was thinking, believe it or not, you know, if I'm a Warrior fan right now, I'm almost worried that, I don't know, somehow we're going to end up with a jump ball here, or,
sure,
you know, there's going to be an offset, you know, offsetting tees and nothing comes of it. So when the Warriors got the call, I thought the game was over. Well, here's what I will say. And I have this written down, and I know it's not about the Warriors, but Utah, the way Utah defended when they stole the ball from Clay, and then subsequently stole the ball from Poole, their ability, especially on Clay, to swarm him, but to not foul him right away, because they knew they had, you know, give it 3 to 5 seconds. If we can't get the steal, then foul. What do? You always foul too soon. You just right. Do. So that tells me they're a well-coached team. And even the steal on Poole, it was almost like the perfect stab at it to make, because you go for the ball. If you foul him right away. It can't be an intentional because you're going for the ball. And, oh, by the way, you just happen to get all ball. Just kind of the, I mean, they had to make plays too to come back and win that game.
No, they did. And I think you also maybe the refs don't call a foul on the swipe down as well. You just, you do it. It's all in one big moment. And yeah, he got the ball. The ball was free on the ground rolling around, and it goes to Malik Beasley, and they run it back the other way. But just for some context on what you're talking about, going back to the Kuminga Clarkson deal where Clarkson was ejected, and I think rightfully so. I think we were talking about at the time. So Kuminga blocks a shot. All right. Clearly Clarkson is frustrated because he got his shot blocked, and they're probably going to lose the game at that point. And so they pause the game. All hell breaks loose for a minute. They're reviewing everything. There's 24.9 seconds left at that point. So the Warriors have the ball, 24.9 seconds left. Now, Kuminga did miss one of the two free throws, which wound up being crucial for the Warriors. But at that point, even still a three-point lead, and the Jazz have to foul, although they steal the ball from Klay. Klay then blocks a shot. The Warriors get it back. Jordan Poole goes to the free throw line. I mean, there's so many little pieces of nuance. If one thing doesn't go exactly the way that it went, the Warriors end up winning the game. Jordan Poole missed a free throw in that yep. instance after the Klay block. And then I got to ask you, Steiny, what the hell was Klay Thompson doing as the Jazz? I mean, I thought that was a brilliant play with Alexander Walker driving, content to take the two, but really was looking for anybody. Like, that play was run for Alexander Walker to look for anybody whose defender they leave their man. And Klay just comes just lollygagging into the paint. I have no idea what he's doing. Doesn't even really defend the layup, just stops. And Alexander Walker, it was a gift. Alexander Walker's like, well, I'm not taking the layup. I'm going to throw it out to Beasley to shoot a three because you left him. I mean, that was, and Klay acknowledged it after the game, but you know, Klay has these, he's spaced out. I mean, he has the space cadet moments, you know, frequently, and that was one of them. And that's for a Hall of Fame player to make that play in that moment is just, what are you doing? But it also is in line with fouling a three-point shooter when everybody in the building knows you can't foul a three-point shooter, and he got away with that a couple of weeks back against the Kings.
The reality is we know that Klay has never been a cerebral player, right? He's more instinctual. He's not great when it comes to score situation. We've seen that over 10, 12 years. Come on, let's just be honest. He's so great that most of the time he made a bad decision during their greatness, it didn't cost them games. Klay Thompson, this is hard to say. He's helped win the Warriors a lot of games, big games over the course of his career. They don't win 14. We all know the story. He's costing them games now, JD. He's losing them games. Last night, he lost that game for them in three different phases. By not paying attention on the biggest possession and losing his man, by not protecting the ball in the backcourt when he knew they were going to swarm him, and for finishing that game 8-for-25 from the field, and essentially shooting the Warriors out of the game.
No doubt. And it was a game where, you know, on the postgame show, I was trying to come up with, you know, hey, you needed him out there because you needed players. And if you end up winning the game, you could say, all right, he didn't play well, but he did help you in a way. You wind up losing the game, and he really does, as you say, hurt the Warriors in so many different ways. Like, you go back at the end of the night and you look at the 8-of-25. And you go, man, he didn't have a good game at all. It's one of those that it almost completely flips from, yeah, he was solid and helped them win, to, man, he was terrible when you factor in the end of game situations.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, like with him, I felt like last night he was in his own head again. Now, listen, with no Curry and no Wiggins, I don't really begrudge him the 8-for-25 as much as I usually would.
Yeah, you know, look, no doubt.
He's gonna shoot in those games, but he's, boy, he just he's got to have another play. He's got to play with Draymond or Curry basically at this point, because you know, he just can't do as much individually as he used to be able to do. And he needs to be set up more than Steph Curry needs to be set up. Well, and Poole for that matter.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It's really a matter of, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I think it's worth revisiting this notion that he's back, that we, you know, he has two or three games and it's like, he's back. It's 18. And it's like, no, he's not. And I keep, it comes back to me where he's played what, 20 games? Just, you know, pass or fail, good or bad. Has he played better in more than half the games that he's played in? I don't think he has. I was thinking
six or seven to be kind of nice.
Like if you were giving him a record of, 20 games, you win, right. you play a good game or a bad game. Yeah, he probably is like 7-13 in the 20 games, just on a, and it, like you can't be back if you're playing well a third of the time. I mean, that just, right. It doesn't work that way.
Well, and that's JD. No, that's how declines look. Like, I'm sorry. I don't, maybe some of this is still the injury rehab. Maybe it's still Clay getting into shape. Maybe he is going to improve, you know, short term, but like this is the way it looks. You get less consistent. You start missing shots. You normally, it's just like, well, he looks the same. Well, like, okay, how about this? When's the last time Clay missed that many layups? Second year in the league, when we used to call him Clay-ups, he couldn't make a layup last night.
Well, it's not the first time. I mean, that's been a problem this year and even since he came back last year. He just doesn't have the lift or the finish.
Exactly. And
I think we've seen him kick out to shooters, I think, lately, because he doesn't want to go up, because he doesn't have the confidence that he can finish the play. Like, there have been a few times where he's, all right, I'm not going to shoot the three. I get by my man. I'm going to the basket. And he'll kick it out when it looks like he's got a layup. And I think part of the reason he's done that is because he's missed so many at the rim.
Yeah, and like, the reason you miss more shots at the rim is just, you know, you jump in 2 centimeters lower. You got to that spot, you know, a split second later than you normally did. And all of a sudden, you can't get it up over the rim. So, I you know, Clay obviously didn't help the Warriors last night. Here's one thing I've written down and just throwing this at you. It really does. I don't know if it's, and I know they got to manage some of this. It really does feel like the Warriors are taking a very cavalier attitude to the regular season this year, like very cavalier. And I think some of it probably has to do with the practicality of the schedule, or I'm sorry, of the standings, with everybody bunched in the middle. But it feels like JD, they're comfortable going to the playoffs as a, you know, now I think the goal's the top six. Like, they take six, they'd be like, yeah. Like, if you gave the Warriors right now the sixth seed and health, they'd be like, we'll take it.
I think you're right about that. The one thing I would say is do it at your own peril. Because, and I think we're seeing this over the last couple of days here, you know, and the way the Warriors were able to, I think, so quickly get to 500 and over 500 also plays in this, because they were 3-7. They were talking about what wasn't working for them, what they needed to do better. They started to play better. They essentially ditched the young players completely out of the rotation or off the team at that point. They started playing better. They get to 13-11. And now they're start dealing with some injuries, right? Now Steph Curry's banged up. Now Draymond's banged up. Now Wiggins is banged up and already ruled out on a Wednesday for a game on a Saturday, which tells you that is a legitimate injury. But the one thing that I would say is you got to be careful with that, because the fact that everybody's bunched up, it works both ways, right?
Yes, it does.
You're closer to the top, but you're also closer to being out completely if you do run into a stretch where, and this is something we talked about I think a month ago, is you get a couple of games below 500 And you look at right now, the Warriors are the 10 seed right now at 13-13. Mm-hmm. Minnesota is 11 at 12-12. So basically, there are 11 .500 teams right now in the Western Conference. So if you're a game or two below .500, you're in it. But if you have to play 3 weeks without a star, without a couple of stars, where are you going to be then? And that's where I think this thing can flip fast from thinking, all right, we'll go 15-5 in the last 20 games and get into the top six or get into the top four if it's bunched up. But if you're so far back by the time you get to that point where you really want to lock in because of the circumstances of the season, you may not be able to overcome it. And I think the Warriors are closer to that fate than a lot of people realize right now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
I think you're right. It's kind of like I was talking to my producer Evan today, and I just said, you know, that
it's where last night's a killer, really, and Monday's a killer.
I agree. No doubt about it. And I, like, here's where it's like, now you get somebody nicked up, and okay, now you get Curry banged up a little bit. Like, you can't, you know, you go 2-7 over the next nine. And now all of a sudden things look a lot different. I do hear what you're saying there. Absolutely.
Well, at that
and you point, might say, well, they're not going to lose two. They're not going to lose 7 of 9. Well, how many more games is Wiggins going to miss? How many, you know, why don't I ask you that? You know, is there anything to be concerned about with Curry or Draymond?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, Wiggins, it sounds like is the most legitimate or serious of all of the injuries, but as far as just the first point, you know, are they going to lose 7-9? Well, they lost 7-10 with everybody. I mean, essentially to begin the season, and they were playing some bad teams as well, you know, on the road, and they couldn't beat any of them. So I think nothing is really on the table or off the table, rather, for the Warriors. As far as Curry goes, I thought Steve Kerr had a really interesting quote in his pregame availability yesterday from Utah, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it was essentially, hey, we got to be careful with Steph. It takes him a little longer now at 34, and he mentioned the age at 34 to recover from games and you know, back-to-backs and 3 and 4 nights. And if he does get a little bit banged up, that the team's got to be careful of you know, throwing him out there when he's less than 100%, because that won't end well for anybody. And I think it's interesting because it's the first real acknowledgement that I think a tangible acknowledgement of, hey, Steph's starting to get up there, and he's great, right, and he's still an MVP, but maybe, you know, if there is anything that's bothered him, and I think it's clear the ankle or whatever was bothering him from the Houston game in the Indiana game to where they said, we're going to shut you down for a few days coming off of the Indiana game. And that makes sense. I mean, Utah, yeah, right in the middle of the week. You get the whole week off to kind of
get the extra day. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it made sense to do it, but I thought it was interesting. And then, you know, Draymond's a little banged up. If Steph's not going to play, you're going to make it a developmental game. Well, then Draymond's not going to play. He's been dealing with something. We've seen that right before. But as far as Steph goes, I mean, it really was the first time I thought where it was like, wow, like they really are acknowledging the fact that they, in some ways, have to protect him from himself, have to really manage the season. And that makes the Warriors a hell of a lot more vulnerable.
No doubt, JD. And you know what else too? And it's semantics. And I guess at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. When we talk about the greatness of Steph and look at the ability, look at how great he is at this age, and everybody worries about injury. But you know, the real, to me, the real thing now becomes when does load management essentially become like a guy is injured? You know what I mean? For example, last night, I don't care what you call it, you know, Steph Curry, to me, missed that game because of injury and age. Like that's why. And I know that's hard to hear. And I know you're taking him out of that game to ensure future health, but it doesn't change the fact that even in a year when he's completely healthy now, he's probably going to miss 12 games at least, right? Because what is he on a pace now for? 10? He's missed three. Four? Has he missed four or three?
It was last night and then the two games in New Orleans. Okay.
So he's missed three, and we're just under a third of the way through the season. So he's on a pace to miss 10 games.
Yeah, okay. 10.
And that's about the best we can ever hope for now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I
and it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. But if he misses 12 games within those 72 now it's a little more of an issue, a lot more of an issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is. And I was looking it up here as you were talking. They did, I guess, all right, left ankle soreness is what they listed. I thought it was a little bit more pronounced than that. Like I thought, and just going back through the injury report yesterday, but it was listed as an injury for him in that missing the game in Utah.
Gotcha.
But I think it goes back to the Houston game. And then, I mean, Steve Kerr even referenced the fact that in the Indiana game, he didn't look like himself. He obviously, that was his worst game of the season. And so clearly there was something going on there where they wanted him to be able to take some time to kind of recalibrate a little bit. And so I think, you know, that is why, you know, we can look at, and we should talk a little bit about Kuminga from last night. And, you know, Kuminga plays well last night and puts you in position to win, but then you don't get the win. You lose the game against Indiana. And I don't typically do this, although we talked during the day yesterday. I didn't put the Utah game in the category of a punt. Like the New Orleans games were punts. I didn't think last night was necessarily a punt. Utah had guys out. They didn't have Markkanen. They didn't have Conley. They had players out. The Warriors did have Clay. And Utah's a comfortable matchup, I feel like, for the Warriors. Like, they feel like athletically they can hang with the Jazz. And I think that's where a guy like Kuminga, his impact is so pronounced against a team that is, for the most part, I think, unathletic and bad on defense and that. But you don't win the game, and now you're 13-13, and Boston's coming in before you go on a 6-game road trip. So it suddenly takes me to, well, do you want to glow over Kuminga? And I think we can and probably should, at least for a couple of minutes. Or do you want to focus on the fact that this team might not be 500 when they come back on Christmas? Because that's very much on the table now.
Yeah, and here's where I am with you. I think there's a big difference between guys playing well and guys playing well in a win. And through no fault of Jonathan Kuminga's, he should have been able to come out of that locker room last night. I don't even know what his numbers were, but my numbers were the numbers, and I did what I did on defense. And you know what, damn it? I was one of the most important players in a win. Like, that's big. Like, that is so much bigger than anything a young player does on a 30-win team, as far as I'm concerned. But they lost a cheapie. They lost a cheapie. So he doesn't get to quite have that feeling. Nope. But then they also lose a tangible game in the standings where, you know what, they probably would rather be 2 up right now than 500 looking at the next 7 or 8 games. Like, nope. You're absolutely right.
No doubt.
I will say this about Kuminga. I see his ability to defend if he can be pretty smart. Because Jordan Clarkson is not an easy guard, and Kuminga's bigger than him. So you're telling me he can guard, or he can give you a shot against guys like Clarkson, and then you hope that he can be a good defender at the other end with bigger guys? Okay. All right, I see something there for sure.
Yeah, and the numbers.
Notice I was talking about his defense, too, by the way.
No, you're right. And I think that the defense is the most important thing, and the rebounding and the hustle. And those are the things that he's done better, I think, over the last week and a half to 2 weeks. The question becomes, and I'll give you the line, 24 points, 10-13. It was almost all at the rim. It was dunks. It was little post-ups. It was somebody drives and he cuts. The go-ahead bucket at the end, I think Poole drove. He cut. He pump-faked. Got the defender in the air. I think it was Kessler, and then dunked it. Like, it was real. He wasn't – at times he chases his offense, I think, and that's all bad. He didn't chase his offense last night. It was almost like what you see from a center, in, you know, from a center that just kind of hangs at the dunker spot or waits. You know, you don't run any plays for him. He just gets his in the context of what everybody's doing. They ran a few little short posts. Hey, grab it and kind of bulldoze somebody for a layup. They did that. You can run those kinds of plays for him, I think. But the question I have is, I think he did it in a way last night where it could translate to playing with the other players, which is something that isn't always true in games where you start taking star players away and a guy ends up getting 13 shots.
I mean, the thing, and I might be wrong on Kuminga here, but the way I would use him essentially, and I would have been kind of asking him to be this guy from the get-go, is it seems to me like he has trouble with defensive philosophies, just like Wiseman, which is understandable.
Right.
So he seems to excel when you give him a guy to guard.
Yep.
Can you guard this guy?
100%.
Yeah, I think I – let me try, okay? You're already in a better spot. They used to say this about Clay a lot, and it's funny because it popped up tonight. And I heard this from you know, a lot of people, like this little, you know, Clay can lose focus. That's why he's such a good on-ball defender, because it gives him something to focus on, the guy with the ball. He's really good at defending Harden. He's really good at defending those guys at the top. But when you get a guy who moves without the ball, he tends to lose his focus, and that's where he's not quite as good as a defender. I think Kuminga looks the same way to me. Like, man, I'd almost say, hey, Kuminga, here's what you're going to do your first 3 years. Just defend and rebound, defend and rebound, defend and rebound. Don't do anything else. because by not doing anything else, you're still going to get 12 points a game. I guarantee you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I would almost have tried to see if you can talk him into being a defensive, just a defensive madman. And then he starts developing that reputation. Like, that's how you then become a great defender. One of the reasons Draymond's a great defender is because he's got a reputation now as a great defender. It's a fair reputation. And now he gets breaks. Like, now he gets breaks. So, like, Kuminga should – I think he should embrace that defensive role.
Well, and I think they've tried to get him to embrace it. I think with varying levels of success. I think there's times where he seems more into it now than he has at any point this season. There were stretches last year. I think what the tricky part has been with Kuminga, and you see a lot of this off of last night, he's got to play. He's got to play every game. He's got to play 25 minutes. What the Warriors have seen, though, is when he's flashed like he did last night and they do give him more minutes or they guarantee him a spot, he didn't play as hard. And he does, he almost reverts to try and play a little bit differently. He does chase his offense and shoot the, think about how many 3-point shots he was taking earlier in the year between now. Now he's maybe taking one a game, one or two a game. I mean, he was taking 4 or 5 a game. I mean, like that was his role on the team. And I know I'm switching from defense to offense a little bit, but I think when he has played well, they've given him more. And then he hasn't necessarily handled it well, and that's why we've seen him then play less or get pulled from the rotation. So I think that's something to keep an eye on it.
Well, the one thing last night, JD, that I want to get into was Wiseman. You know, it was his first game back, James Wiseman. He only played 5 minutes, but he's obviously a big, big topic of conversation among Warrior fans. And I don't mean like he was – okay, like that was pretty good 5 minutes, and I'm not being derogatory and I'm not being sarcastic, but like this is the way I always thought he had to go. Like, okay, can you give us 4 to 6? And that's what he did last night. Now, why didn't he get into the second half? Probably because the game got tight.
Yeah, they thought they could win. That's
what I thought too. So
let's just put the rat on the table. They thought they could win, so he didn't play.
Right. Fair enough. But he's going to get at least 5 minutes in the first half of every game. And, you know, when Boston's beating him by 25 on Saturday, he'll play in the second. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, although it does sound like he's going back to Santa Cruz. I mean, which I thought was interesting. The fact that, all right, Draymond wasn't going to play. They were down bigs, so they brought him up for that game. But it sounded like, and just reading, you know, parsing through the press conferences, that they want him to go down and play a lot, as opposed to, you know, play a lot on the G League level, as opposed to play a little bit or not play at all with the big club.
Wow. I mean, okay. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, are you telling me that maybe it was just because they needed a body?
I think it was. And all right, let's pull him back into the fold. Let's pull him back into the fold and, you know, let him know that he's not gone for good. I mean, I don't think there's a final decision made on that, but I mean, I don't think he's going to, I'll say this. I think if he's with the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors on Saturday, I wouldn't imagine he's playing a sniff in that game. I mean, it's,
you're playing. Well, unless it's garbage time.
Unless you're down big. I do think it was a good 5 minutes. Hey, that game's – you play that – the Celtics are playing unreal and not going to have Wiggins. We'll see. I hope everybody else plays because that game – you know, that's one of the games in the schedule comes out where you're thinking, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. And you know, usually – it feels like usually the other team's got guys out in these games. The Warriors don't.
Right.
And this one, it's the opposite, but it's the same – it's the same feeling. Like, damn it, I want to see these two teams play each other head up, especially because the Celtics have improved off of when we last saw them in June.
Yeah, Celtics seem to be having the year the Warriors had last year at the start. Remember, the Warriors got off to an 18-2 start, and I think a lot of that was because they felt disrespected because they were being counted out. And I think the Boston Celtics are still really upset about losing the finals last year. So they're coming out with a chip on their shoulder like the Warriors did last year.
I mean, it felt last night. I don't know if you saw the Celtics last night, but they played in Phoenix, first game of their trip, and they got up 40. And I mean, it was and Chris Paul was back, and it was a big game, and they went in there and from the jump just dominated the game. I mean, up 20 at the end of the first quarter. They were up 40 in the second half. I mean, the game was over before it started. I mean, it was it felt like a championship type performance from the Celtics last night. So yeah, the Warriors are in for it, I think, on Saturday. So good stuff, my man. We'll do it again next week as the road trip hits. For Steiny, I'm JD, 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.